Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got news. We got good sports coming your way, and that's all coming in a second. First, I'll tell you about Omega XL. Whether it's back, knees, neck, shoulder pain, underlying causes. Well, that's inflammation, people. And I have it. As you know, my hands were kind of screwed up, and I got some injections and stuff in it. And it's much better now that I'm on the Omega XL. I talked to the owners of this company, and they make a real product. It's not a painkiller. It manages inflammation, which causes the pain. Backed by 35 years of clinical research, Omega XL attacks the inflammation, and that's what causes the pain. Pain relievers and topical rubs mask the problem. Now, think about that. You want to get rid of the pain, or you want to spackle over it? Omega XL neutralizes inflammation and causes the pain, stiffness in the joints and the muscles. Get the Omega XL, would you please? Dawson.
Order Omega XL now and get a second bottle free with OmegaXL.com/Adam. Visit OmegaXL.com/Adam. That's OmegaXL.com/Adam. Or call 1-800-844-4888, 800-844-4888, 800-844-4888.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, let's start with the Emmy noms. Now, we don't know what the Emmys are going to look like this year. I think we all figured by September 20th, Jimmy Kimmel would be back up on stage hosting live with people crammed together in a theater, but we still don't know. But the nominations are out, and boy, oh boy, huge year for Netflix. Outdid HBO this year. They grabbed a record 160 nominations for shows like Ozark, The Crown, Unbelievable, The Kominsky Method, Dead to Me. HBO's Watchmen received 26 nominations, which I have to tell you is a phenomenal series. Amazon's Marvelous Mrs. Maisel picked 20 nominations. I have the list of everything. I can just kind of pick and choose if you want.
I was watching Love Boat last night.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And I was realizing what a crazy choice everyone has now. It was an insane episode, which is literally this is what they would do. This is what they did in the 70s. One of the stories, there'd be like three stories going on simultaneously. One of the stories was that a young, good-looking dude who was sort of a man about town, his girlfriend was Barbie Benton.
Oh, sure.
And Barbie Benton wanted to get married desperately to him, but he was like, he'd do that move where they'd be dancing and he'd be looking over her shoulder at another hot chick who was in like winking at her the whole time. And at some point, she's like, when we get to Mexico tomorrow, when we deboard the ship, we're going to find a minister of the peace and we're going to get married in Mexico. And he was like, and he saw him look down at a magazine that was like on the floor, and on the cover was a deadly disease, like called the Coba disease or something. And he went, oh, I can't get married. I have a deadly disease. It's the Coba disease. He's like reading it off the magazine. And she immediately goes, oh my God, why didn't you tell me? He's like, I didn't want to worry you. And at some point, this is a true story. I mean, it's a true Love Boat story. At some point, she catches on that he was just BSing and saying he had a deadly disease and that's why he didn't want to marry her and he couldn't marry her. And she said, you know what? I'm going to bring you into Dr. Bricker's office, because she knows Dr. Bricker because she's hot and Dr. Bricker's the doctor on the ship. And she's like, can you just screw with him a little bit? Like pretend like, you know, that old trope where they go, well, you're dying. And they pull out a giant syringe, you know, and they go, this is not going to hurt a bit, you know, and the guy gets all scared. And so he goes in to Dr. Bricker's office with her blessing so he can, for a little payback, She's gonna scare him now. And Bricker's kind of like, look, obviously I can't cut into him or anything, but I'll scare him. And it's that move they used to do where they pull the napkin or the cloth off the little operating table off the tray, and it's full of saws,
gruesome
and shiny scalpel. Right.
And he's like, whoa. And at some point, he's like, all right. He was like busting his chops. And then at some point, he's like, hey, he was like, my shoulder's a little tender, Doc. And he's like, really? Let me feel that. And he starts feeling his shoulder. And he's like, well, that's interesting. Hey, do me a favor. Here's a book. Hold this book up with that hand. Hold it out. Hold on. And he drops it. And Bricker like looks at him. He's like, my God, you have Lou Gehrig's disease. And the guy's like, what? Come on, Doc. Give me a break. I know what you're doing. I get it now. And he's like, I'm sorry to inform you. You have ALS. Like, you're there's no cure.
Jesus, that's a heavy diagnosis for a fucking Christian.
And then, like, the doc, like, walks out, and Barbie Benton standing there is like, oh, boy, Doc, you hit it out of the ballpark. He's super upset. And he's like, I wish I was joking. He's got Lou Gehrig's disease.
Jesus.
There's Max Brad.
You watch this episode?
I've been trying to find it. It's not on the internet anywhere.
Yeah, because it's incredibly offensive.
And then I'm like, all right, there's 11 minutes left in this episode. How are we going to wrap this up? Because everyone leaves happy when they walk off the ship. They're always happy. It always worked out, you know? And he's in his room, and he's, like, drinking, and he's like, nobody wants me anymore. And it's all fucked up and weird. He went out and banged a bunch of chicks on the boat, and Barbie Benton, like, blamed herself. Like, I can't blame him. If I had 6 months to live, I'd want to love as much as I could. And it's so fucked up. And then some point, he's, like, drinking on the bed, and she goes, I'm going to stay with you. And she, like, hugs him. And then they're getting off the boat. And they're all laughs and smiles. And Dr. Bricker's standing there. He's not telling them to get a second opinion or anything. He's just diagnosing them with full-blown Lou Gehrig's disease. No cure.
A terminal disease.
And they're getting off the boat, and they're like laughing it up. And Dr. Bricker's like, you're laughing? And they're like, they say it's the best medicine. And he's like, you're right about that. And they start laughing. They walk right off the boat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Callous.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. Of course, I did the deep dive into the actor. The actor who played the guy was named Dak Rambo.
It is not.
That's awesome.
Dak Rambo is his name. Died in 1994 of AIDS.
Please don't say ALS.
Don't say it.
AIDS.
Oh, of AIDS.
AIDS. Oy. Yeah, AIDS, okay. Not ALS. Yeah, that was him. But, yeah, I was. This is what we had to watch. This is what we had. Now there's so many good goddamn shows. I don't even know. And not only that, but how about this? The bank of shows. So what we had was like, you know, we had. So when I was a kid, it was like, you want to watch an episode of Gilligan's Island or the Beverly Hillbillies or some Green Acres and all that kind of stuff, you know, or even, you know, like the Three Stooges or something. It was all stuff that predated me, but you could watch. They'd rerun the Three Stooges and they'd rerun Gilligan's Island or the Brady Bunch or something like that. My kids are binge watching The Family Guy and The Simpsons and Friends. Like, not only is there what's out right now, there is a huge cache of great quality shows. Like, go ahead and discover all 7,000 episodes of The Simpsons. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Watch them all.
The Office is almost 20 years ago soon. Sopranos 20 years ago.
You talk to these kids when I was talking to them, like, in the seventh or eighth grade. It's like, what's everyone watching? They're watching The Office.
Yeah.
And we're watching Friends. It's like, oh, yeah, you guys just have to watch great comedy.
Yeah. They'll never have time to watch it all. Seinfeld is, you know, God knows how many years.
Yeah.
All right. Let me hit Tommy John, and then we'll hit a few of these Emmy noms, if you please.
Yes,
Summer
sir.
Is in full swing. Tommy John proud to announce their new essentials, guaranteed to redefine comfort no matter how hot it is. New hammock pouch, Mac support for the manhood down there. Everything's amazing. And their number one customer favorite, Second Skin Plus hammock shaped pouch for the boys, made from ultra light, breathable, anti-odor air mesh fabric. This stuff is the best. I'm wearing my Tommy John's right now. I would never dream of leaving the house without them. Ladies, I got the brand new comfort smoothing fabric and the bralettes as well. And that sounds like Gina's backup singers. Gina Grad, everybody, in the bralettes. Mr. Woo! Sandman. Boom, 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 boom. The bralettes. Put your hands together once again for the bralettes. Gina Grad and the bralettes.
That's good.
All right. Yeah, bralettes. And underwear, breathable, lightweight, accentuates what you love and smooths over what you don't. And upgrade to Tommy John. Shall we, Dawson?
Go for a limited time. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. Nominees.
Well, let's take a look at how about we do variety talk series, drama and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big ones. So, for Best Variety Talk Series, we have The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. For the comedy series, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dead to Me on Netflix, The Good Place, NBC, Insecure, HBO, The Kominsky Method, Netflix, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Amazon, Schitt's Creek on the Pop Channel, and What We Do in the Shadows, FX. That was the vampire mockumentary that they made into a series. And for Best Drama, Better Call Saul, AMC, The Crown, Netflix, Handmaid's Tale, Hulu, Killing Eve, BBC, The Mandalorian, Disney Plus, Ozark, Netflix, Stranger Things, Netflix, and Succession, HBO.
Did Alex Borstein get nominated for, I don't know, four straight years or something?
That's right. Jennifer Aniston, that's a drama. Let me tell you, comedy. Christina Applegate, Linda Cardellini, Rachel Brosnahan from Miss Maisel, Catherine O'Hara, Issa Rae, and Tracy Ellis Ross.
Oh, no Borstein.
No, I think she's nominated for supporting.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at Lee.
Yeah, that's what I went.
You're right.
God damn it.
Is she? I'm not seeing it on here.
Hmm.
But well, it would make sense.
That'll look.
Yep.
Let's hope she's not. You know, she was bitchy to me in my kitchen many years ago, as you guys know.
People don't forget.
And then I.
Yeah, I'm seeing she is nominated Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series.
Oh, I don't have that on here.
And then, you know, shortly after getting bitched out in my own kitchen, I became a big star. You know what I mean? And didn't hear too much from Alex Borstein. So I was like, well, that's what you get for bitching me out in my kitchen. Maybe I'll give you a gig as a nanny or wet nurse or something one of these days, you know, when I have kids. The next thing you know, she's all over Family Guy. And now It's like nomination. And look at me. I'm doing a podcast. So
you're just unlucky.
I'm just unlucky. That's what
now
it is.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. She lucked into that role.
Yeah.
And she keeps lucking into those Emmy noms as well.
That's right.
And, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, a little bit of an update on the Kanye situation. These are all baby steps because, you know, it just kind of chugs along at its own pace. But Kim did jet off to Wyoming on Monday to visit him. This is the first time they've been in the same place since the infamous South Carolina campaign rally. This
she
comes
was
a
there?
Few days. Apparently, This comes or, you know, there soon thereafter. This comes a few days after Kanye publicly apologized to Kim for oversharing. That's when he mentioned he didn't really want his first kid.
The woman has a hardcore porn tape of her out. Like, how do you overshare with that person?
Very good
there
point.
Are certain things I don't want out in the public.
Some things are sacred.
A little something called dignity. Yes.
So, TMZ says Kim and the family have been desperately trying to get Kanye into treatment for serious bipolar episodes, but he's unwilling to listen, and the Kardashians were at a loss how to help him. Meanwhile, Kanye managed to submit signatures before Monday's deadline in Missouri to get on the presidential ballot there, and it's still determined whether he made the cut, but there's a part of him that is taking this seriously.
Did he have, we were talking about he had a record out or coming out.
Coming out, right?
I don't know. Did it come out? Did it sell a lot? Did it get is there too much controversy and it didn't sell? Like, what's the right amount of controversy or ink or whatever we're talking about? I don't know if it came out. I don't even know if he's still hot, as the kids would say. Like, do you have to go out and get the new Kanye record?
It was his 10th album. It was scheduled to be released on the 24th, but it was unreleased on that date. So,
is it called what Wikipedia says it's called?
Yeah.
The Donda with Child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with speaking of which.
And what is the... and I know there's a whole Beyonce thing that's going on with the videos and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to keep plugged in. You know, I watch TMZ, so I'm trying to figure out what the kids are up to these days.
Enlighten us.
Stay current.
Yeah, well, there's a whole, I don't know, Lion King sort of thing that Beyonce's doing called Black Prince, Black King.
Black is King.
Black is King. Yeah, it's a whole video thing going on, and I got to check that out. But
I thought you meant something to do with Kanye.
No, No. I keep thinking back to those categories, like where they have variety hosts, but then where's Bill Maher land in? And then also, doesn't the Emmys, aren't they sort of famous for going, no, Bill Maher's show falls under cabaret? And
right.
So he'd be put in with musicals
or comedy,
or something.
Right.
And you're like, why not just have all the sort of late night guys and the news guys and just sort of put them in one barrel and then we'll decide. Why don't they do that? Like, where would Bill Maher's show be? I imagine it got some Emmy nods, but it's not in with John Oliver or Jimmy Kimmel.
Should be. Has a monologue, has bits, has interviews. I mean, feels like it's in that category.
So then it just got no nods. Black is King debuts on Disney Plus this Friday. So says Max Zapata. I'll let you you can go on. Max Zapata will find out. Did Real Time get, and did Bill get nominated as a host?
Let me check.
All right. Gina?
Yeah, I was looking for it too.
That's all right.
Okay,
Chris will look.
Yeah, I have the partial that you know the big ones right here. So Ellen is not in the clear, not even a little bit. The show is now the subject of an internal investigation by Warner Media following numerous accusations of a toxic work environment. That's according to Variety.com. Can no longer be ignored. According to sources, employees were notified last week that a third-party firm will interview current and former staffers about their experiences on the set. This comes amid reports of intimidation behind the scenes of the long-running show. In April, Variety reported that the production crew was outraged when they were told to expect reduced compensation in the beginning of the lockdown. These allegations came after Ellen herself came under fire for not being as kind as the person we see on camera. And then I think it was a week ago, possibly 2 weeks ago, the EPs came out and just fell on the sword and said, no, if you're going to blame anyone, blame us, doing anything they could to protect Ellen. But it's not enough to stave off this investigation.
Well, I mean, I imagine it's the golden goose, right? Those EPs are probably really well paid as long as that show keeps going.
No noms for Bill Maher this year. Interesting. You know,
or Ellen.
I'm not a huge fan of Ellen, but do we really need to investigate her being mean? I mean,
these days, it's an investigation.
The toxic, first off, how toxic can it be? There's free food. You know what I mean? Like, how toxic can a work environment be that literally has a craft service? Like you can just go eat as much as you want. There's air conditioning 24/7. I don't know. Historically, you know, I'm sure working for Johnny Carson was no picnic, and I'm sure Jackie Gleason was no prize either. Like, I'm sure historically Lucille Ball was probably a bitch, right? Like, people would be chain smoking, probably having a martini at lunch. You know, it'd be nice if everyone was nice at work. On the other hand, I don't think it's a crime to be bitchy or douche. You know, and also if your boss is a consistent douche, feel free to quit. Just go somewhere else. Do another job.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, so what? So when the investigation's over and you find out that everything's corroborated, now what? Now, right. What does she get fined from the nice police? I mean, what?
Well, and who are we comparing her to in like the female comedian department? Roseanne?
You know, Rosie?
Rosie. Like who? Brett Butler? Like, who isn't a nutty, crazed bitch in the female comedian and male for that matter? But I mean, what female comedians are? They're all notoriously insane. So what do you expect? You knew that was on. You knew you weren't going to work for Jeff Foxworthy over there, the affable. Well,
and when you say, you know,
yes,
what do we do now? Well, people did quit. And then when that sort of funny Twitter thread came out about, you know, what is the deal with Ellen? You can say your piece.
Right.
And your piece has been said. So I don't know what happens at the end of this investigation, but they're investigating it.
I wonder. So, you know, Ellen was interesting in that they had that whole thing with she was at Texas Stadium and she shared the booth with George W. And then her fans were outraged and she had to kind of come back and explain that it's OK. You know, we're friends. You're allowed to have friends who you disagree with politically, which I applauded. As I've said, I did find it interesting that he didn't have to apologize to anyone for hanging out with the lesbian, but she had to apologize to everyone for hanging out with the Republican. But she's got a hard time explaining this one away, because if she like comes back and addresses it, what exactly? This is a tougher putt, right?
You know what she's going to have to do?
Hmm.
She's going to have to cry.
Mm.
She's going to have to admit her wrongdoing, say she's not a perfect human, and sometimes she's fallen short of being kind to one another, and she's going to strive to do better.
And
she's
going
to have to do it. Mm. Yeah.
Crying while dancing would be good.
The cry would be good. Maybe some kind of something revelatory of a molestation or victimization, like some sort of form of that would be good. Well,
remind us how far she's come from being a female comedian, an out lesbian. Mm. Remind us of her struggles and then shed a tear and promise to do better.
Oh, yeah. We're crafting this. This is coming along nicely. Being a female comedian, being a lesbian who is constantly scared of being outed in an all boys club. I had to have my guard up.
Yes.
I had to defend myself constantly.
And you know what? That's probably true.
Good, Gina. That's good.
I felt threatened.
That's right. So you put on this veneer to protect yourself. You grow this lizard skin because of what you had to endure, and you had trouble turning it off sometimes.
Yes, it got. I drifted too far from the shore.
Right.
And thank you for pointing me back.
Mm.
Thank you for being my lighthouse. Oh. I don't know why it's nautical.
And I made a donation to, this foundation,
anti-bullying.
I'm undergoing classes or some sort of remote.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe there's something more specific, like there's a foundation for bitchy hosts, you know, like where they're like, I don't know if there is such a thing. But I'm saying
Barbara Walters found it.
Yes. Made a donation undergoing this. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think she'll be OK.
Struggling with maybe a little substance in here, like, you know, nothing too heavy, like pills that are for people that retain too much water or something like that. You know,
diuretics,
something that threw your chemistry off a little bit.
She felt an obligation, a pressure to stay a certain size.
That's right.
She was. Yep.
You guys are.
That's right.
No. Sorry. You're missing something that's in plain sight. I don't know how old she is. Menopause.
Oh, yeah.
Premenopausal. I'm just discovering what this does to your body. I'm discovering it along with you.
Oh, well, can I combine that with the medication that her quack doctor put her on to stop the hot flashes, but also up the bitchiness, you know, 80%?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good. This is good.
She's going to be okay.
She's going to be fine. She's going to weather the storm.
Well, someone who didn't fare as well for 12 hours was Donald Trump Jr. That's how long his Twitter account was taken offline for posting, quote, misleading and potentially harmful information about the coronavirus. He is the oldest son of the president. He shared a tweet, including a video of people claiming to be doctors and arguing that you don't need masks. A Twitter spokesperson explained the tweet is in violation of our COVID-19 misinformation policy. He will not be allowed to tweet for 12 hours. Then Trump shared the same tweet. He took it down, so he didn't get suspended.
Oh, I thought, got suspended for hydroxychloroquine stuff. Well,
the doctors were promoting it or something.
Right. And the doctor, he's sort of throwing his support behind Stella Emanuel, I want to say her name is.
Well, there's a couple. There's that.
She's Ellen's doctor.
There's that.
Oh, that's good. Because she believes in like demonic possession and witchcraft. And
well,
she's,
there is like a big black Jamaican woman.
That's what I'm talking about.
That would seem to fit the demonic possession part of the whole thing.
She might be Nigerian. I got to look.
She's from a place that doesn't look down its nose at demonic possession. I think we're here, yes. Like especially on the West Side, you shall be scoffed at if you start talking about demonic possession.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So did he get downed for no mask or did he get downed for hydrochloroquine?
Well, they were all part of the same video.
Oh,
so
I only saw the chloroquine part.
Ooh, and apparently she's the reason why demon sperm was trending.
Oh, cool.
Is that the woman who's giving the impassioned speech?
Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to skin this as we go. But yeah, that's that the woman Stella Emanuel is the one that's getting sort of in the spotlight right now. It turns out she has a history of making particularly outlandish claims, including that the uterine disorder endometriosis is caused by sex with demons that take place in dreams. Well, now I got to go back to my
You said outlandish, Gina, so please provide something.
I need to blow a call into my doctor. The video showed a group that has dubbed itself America's Frontline Doctors standing on the steps of Supreme Court, claiming that neither masks nor shutdowns are necessary to fight the pandemic, despite a plethora of expertise to the contrary. This from the Washington Post.
They were all the pro hydroxychloroquine zinc people, doctors. At least that's the vids I saw. That's who they are. Drew's stands by it 100%. I think Drew's on it, by the way.
Having sex with a demon?
No, the hydroxychloroquine part of it. And I don't know what the deal is. It'll drive Drew insane if you bring this up in front of him. He says it's very effective.
And I guess it might have been Dr. Drew, but we also have someone that comes on twice a week named Dr. Ray, who's a pulmonologist, and he comes on the Conway Show. And I believe the thing we discussed, the reason why there were claims that it doesn't work is that because at that point they were giving it to people who were on death's door. Nothing was going to work. That was what got put out into the news.
Just because it drives me nuts, but it drives Drew especially nuts. What we know is it doesn't work if you're down the road with this disease or particularly sick. It doesn't really have an effect. But look, I guess lots of things don't really have an effect once you're way down the road with cancer or whatever
expression.
It is.
Yeah, putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. A Band-Aid will not work at that point.
Right. But evidently, the hydroxychloroquine with the zinc and the zithromycin, I think, together works real well. But the zinc is really good. And zinc alone, Drew says, is good. And the hydroxychloroquine is good. And the hydroxychloroquine is over-the-counter in many countries and 65 years old. And it costs, I don't know, $2 a pop or something like that. It's really cheap.
It's got generic versions.
It's crazily available. And many populations are just on it chronically because of either
malaria.
Those areas are on it, are just on it prophylactically. And then when people travel to those areas, they're on it. So the part where it's like there's all the side effects and all that, according to Drew, who screamed many times at me, he's given this pill out to many, many patients, and there's many more side effects to aspirin and Tylenol. So I don't know why it's so politicized and supersized. It appears to be effective if you get on it early, like when we talked to Dr. Zelenko about it. And there was just a whole article in, was it Newsweek yesterday, Max Zapata? There was a whole article in Newsweek or one of those publications that just went, they did a bunch of tests and turns out to be helpful. I don't know. It's not going to cure you if you're deep into it, but it's good prophylactically, and it's also good if you just are showing symptoms.
Well, here's the divining rod of truth. If all of us were all of a sudden feeling COVID symptoms, or maybe diagnosed, you know, with a test or whatever, would you want and take hydroxychloroquine? Yeah, probably. I'd probably want that.
Yeah, Drew said, you're going back to Texas, you're traveling around, maybe I'll just put you on it. I was like, well, okay. I mean,
sounds like a threat.
I know. What was that magazine article? Sorry.
So, yeah, there 5 days ago, Newsweek released an article called "The Key to Defeating COVID-19 Already Exists. We Need to Start Using It." He's talking about hydroxychloroquine, and it's written by Harvey A. Rich, MD, PhD, professor of epidemiology at Yale.
It's just there's way too much controversy about it. It's just it's pretty safe. I mean, it's very safe because it's been given out times millions mm-hmm. and billions of pills have been consumed over 65 years. So get on it. The problem is now that it's been politicized, pharmacists don't want to write it. Doctors don't want to give it out, or many doctors, many pharmacists. And now people are having an argument about something that could be effective. But either way, it appears there's a few other medications that are promising out there as well. I don't know. I think before we find the vaccination, we'll find that these steroids or these other...
Yeah, Decadron, things, someone was saying. Yeah, it was right. An ordinary, everyday steroid.
Well,
yeah.
And this vaccine isn't moving at a pace that any vaccine has ever moved before. I mean, the race is on. They're talking about having something by the very beginning of next year. The entire world is working 24 hours a day around the clock on this vaccine. So it's coming. And that's the other question. Like Brian says, would you get on hydroxychloroquine? Who's going to be the first to take the vaccine? Because, boy, talk about politicizing something.
Drew has already signed up to be like part of the first batch test, whatever.
So they have to go through so many phases of testing before they release it to the market that I feel comfortable, you know, if a vaccine came out, whenever it came out, like, yeah, it's been tested quite, you know, vigorously.
Oh, sure, Brian. So you're okay with having a tracking device injected into your blood?
Yeah, no, I kind of am.
I mean, we already have one.
I said I carry one around on
the phone.
There's a CNN article that came out a couple of hours ago. Study finds hydroxychloroquine may have boosted survival, but other researchers have doubts.
They hate it. CNN, Trump said it may show some promise. Is that okay? You should know, he didn't come up with that. Like, what I'm saying is CNN, Trump didn't think of that because he's a doctor. Mm-hmm. Somebody fucking told him. That's all. He's just parroting something that there was a study, somebody wrote a paper, and then somebody told Trump, and then Trump said it. That's all. He didn't invent it. He's not smart. It doesn't make him a scientist. You don't even need to give him any credit. He just said something that somebody said to him. You don't need to launch a war on him saying it. It wasn't his idea. It's insane. It's like Trump shouldn't get credit for saying something was effective because some other doctor did the research, mm-hmm. and then he just saw the article, and I'll bet he didn't even see the article. Someone probably just told him, hey, this thing may be good. And then, like, when Joy Behar is yelling at the senator, what are you doing taking hydroxychloroquine? You seem like a smart guy. What's wrong with you? It's his doctor. He's not taking it. His doctor is giving it to him. You're not Joy Behar. You're not yelling at him. You're yelling at the doctor. Why are you yelling at the doctor? The doctor has given this person this medication because in their professional opinion, it would be helpful for them. There's no reason to politicize this one. It either works or it doesn't work. And if it works, then you should avail yourself of it. And by the way, there's so many things that Trump fucks up There's so many tweets. There's so many policies. There's so many statements.
He doesn't manufacture it.
Right. Why do you have to cling to this one thing? He didn't say, I've invented something in the basement of the White House. He just said, this thing may prove to be... He was trying to be, you know, give people hope. He was probably trying to go, you know, this thing, it looks promising.
I'm taking it.
You don't need to attack it. It may be, it has appeared to be promising. Move on to one of the many, many tweets, one of the many statements, one of the many anythings that you can move on to and leave this one alone, because it's been so politicized that a lot of people aren't able to get it now because we've made such an issue about it. I don't know. Yes, sorry, Max Powell. What is that? There's plenty that he says that you can pick apart on a daily basis. Once in a blue moon, he may be right about something that's not even his idea.
He's passing along the right information.
Yes, he's just passing it along. Study finds hydroxychloroquine may have boosted survival, but researchers have doubts. Okay. Researchers have doubts. There's always someone who has doubts. It's always they disagree.
That shouldn't have been in the headline. I don't want to say it's editorializing, but it's close to just say other researchers. When you just say study finds hydroxychloroquine may have boosted survival.
Right.
That's the headline.
Yeah, that suggests that there's differing opinions that may have boosted survival. Yeah, that's not necessary.
Yeah, it probably did boost survival, so you don't even need the word may. But then you go, but others have doubts. If you ever look online and you see, like, but others have doubts, that means we took a stand against this, whatever it was, early. Now the evidence has come in and turns out we're fucking wrong, but we don't want to say that, so we'll go, but others have doubts. And that's how we'll cover it.
And I did have an error that came out earlier this month. It wasn't a couple hours ago.
How dare you? Can we just have some sort of summit between the mask Karens and the anti-hydroxychloroquines and tell them both to shut the F up and just let's go on science?
Yes, they both are effective.
As long as Gina brought it up, can I ask a philosophical, tangential question I've been thinking about for a couple of days now? So we're how many months into this in lockdown, this COVID?
Five
months. And we've been arguing about fucking masks for potentially for 5 months, whether they should be mandatory, whether they should wear them, whether they really do anything, blah, blah, blah. We're having the same argument. And I think I'm going on a limb here by saying the situation isn't getting a lot better. Like we're kind of, maybe getting worse with more shutdowns and whatever. Can we just... Anti-maskers, how about just for a few weeks, maybe a month and a half, just wear the masks? One of two things is going to happen. One, we're going to fucking drive this thing into the ground and there we go. Or two, you're going to prove all of us fucking rubes wrong. Either way, you win.
True is, the thing about the anti-maskers is I don't think it's about the effectiveness of a mask. I think these are just... It's about government control.
You're 100% right. Well, you mentioned things get politicized and all of a sudden you're dug in on your side.
If we want to triple down here on things we probably you don't say in polite company, what about faith? What about God? People believe in God and they believe in heaven. They don't know. But you know what? It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to believe. Yeah. So why can't we take the same principle and apply it to something on this earth that we're all living on now?
Drew's a masker. And I always ask Drew, what about the mask? And he's like, wear a mask. So if Drew says wear a mask. Drew says, wear a mask, and Drew says, hydroxychloroquine is effective. So there you go, everybody. Both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
Both things can be true. All right, let me hit Geico here. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That is 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you if you were signed up with Geico. So way to go, Geico. Never been a better time to switch over to Geico and save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. So visit geico.com and learn more. That is geico.com and learn more about switching over. Hey, Maxipata, the Haitian woman doctor, can you find her clip somewhere?
Yeah, I'll get it.
She was an impassioned woman. Sorry. Go ahead.
Can I just tell you, I just got a notification. Sometimes you get them, on Facebook for your following someone. The notification that came up this second is somebody, a friend of mine, that said, and this was posted 6 hours ago, but this notification came up during that read. I think there's some good data to show a good possibility of some benefits of hydroxychloroquine as part of a treatment protocol for patients with COVID-19. This places me all too close to the side led now by the doctor who also warns about demon sperm. For the record, I have no opinion yet on demon sperm. So you can pick out the facts among whatever you want.
And also, bad people are allowed to say true things, and good people can do things that are bad on occasion and say things that are untrue. And also, bad people can be great surgeons and save your life. Or people you disagree with can be great airline pilots and save your life in an emergency. Like, there's, you know, we don't throw all the babies out with the bathwater. Some people you can choose not to have dinner with, but they would be great if they were working and performing spinal surgery on you or what have you. I mean, there's plenty of that in this world. All right. Sorry. One more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, at first, this seemed like a conspiracy theory or just a rumor going around, but there's enough evidence that they're putting it in the news. This is from the New York Daily News. Agricultural officials in 27 states are issuing warnings about these suspicious packages from China containing seeds that are urging people to plant them. People across the country have reported receiving these unsolicited packages from China. Inside is a little small packet of seeds, which states agricultural departments say they could be an invasive plant species, which may destroy native plants and crops. It's unclear exactly who's sending the seeds, but officials say anyone who receives a package should notify state authorities immediately. And we'll find out if this is a big hoax or not, but it is making the news rounds.
Yeah. I hope when this whole thing is done, we can deal with China in a little more effective way instead of throwing work their way. Because these people are fucking bad people. I mean, they're making fentanyl, send it into Mexico. Whenever we talk to Ed Calderon, it's like, all the fentanyl comes in from Mexico, but it's all Chinese set up, Chinese labs, Chinese go over there and help set up labs. I mean, they're fucked up. And we're way too, I mean, we're fucked because we got Hollywood and the NBA and everyone's kind of got their back. And then Trump started with the Wuhan, Hong Kong flu and all that kind of shit. And then everyone just went to defend China. But let's not lose our eye on the prize. Again, two things can be true. Trump can be a buffoon and hydroxychloroquine can be effective. And Trump can be a buffoon and China can still be evil. Let's not forget that, peoples. You have the video of the, pardon the pun, possessed doctor lady?
Past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. It's not lost one. Not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. And on top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay. You're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes out and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it. Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. Nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure.
We got it. The point
sorry, that was Delroy Lindo from Devil's Advocate.
Come on. Also, Big Pharma is out of the picture because this stuff has been around for 65 years and cost 20 cents a pill or something. So everyone who's constantly railing about Big Pharma and turning a huge profit and all that kind of stuff, Big Pharma does not want this hydroxychloroquine to be ubiquitous and be successful, I wouldn't think, if they're investing billions in research and cures and all sorts of stuff. So if you don't like big pharma and you like effective medication and you hate Trump, you can still like hydroxychloroquine. The more you know. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Never feel unsafe at home. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, let's see. San Antonio, the Improv coming up. That is it at the Improv?
No, it's not actually. That's
thank
that's
you. That's an error. It's at Laugh Out Loud?
Yeah, Laugh Out Loud.
That is this weekend. We'll do a couple of live podcasts there, and we'll do a couple of stand-up shows there. And Ben Shapiro and Greg Gutfeld will join our pods on Friday and Saturday, so enjoy that. I'm your emotional support animal, available as we speak, Amazon and beyond. And Tempe Improv, that is September 18th and 19th. The rescheduled show's there. So just go to amcarolla.com for all you need. I want to thank Mark Garagos, Reasonable Doubt, of course, his podcast. Maria Konnikova as well, The Biggest Bluff, name of her book. And Jeff Foxworthy, what the hell did I do with his paper? Oh, here we go. What's it worth? Thank you. And until next time, this is Adam for all them Gene and Bald saying mahalo.
Stick around. Adam Carolla returns with Dave Damashek and Cousin Sal for Good Sports right after this. One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi, hello, sports fans. Welcome to another episode, sure to be filled with some hot sports talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, what's going on? We're not close to sports. They're here. We're actually into some actual sport. Okay, some of them are getting shut down here and there, but nevertheless, sports.
Yeah, yeah. Could we give Cousin Sal's our guest today? By the way,
just introduce him.
Okay. I know, you guys.
There he is. That's my new friend. I get to talk to Adam Carolla about sports and Hooey and Applesauce, and I get to talk with Cousin Sal about sports because Sal just launched his very own podcast network, Gambling Sports, Hooey Applesauce, all of it covered. Sal and I thrice weekly talking about sports and otherwise. On Extra Points, make sure you track it down wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Download it, subscribe, so on and so forth. Now,
No, that's it. I mean, I don't know why we waited 20 years, Ace. If the quarantine has taught us anything, we should be doing shit that we want to do, right? Can I say this is terrestrial radio? I haven't followed your career. No, but right? I was like, why not do what you want to do for most of the week if you're able to? Isn't that nice? I know people get mad when you're allowed to flex your wings and have fun, but
no, it is a new world order. You do realize this is what Sal has been doing since he was in the ninth grade. Why not do it for a living? Look, maybe it's a bad example, but Jeffrey Epstein did what he wanted to do. I mean, okay, poor example, but I'm saying, look, I'm not condoning the man. What I'm saying is you do what you want to do. This is the modern era.
I think it's the only example. I don't know where else he would have gotten with that. Yeah.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Phil Rosenthal does a show on traveling and eating. Okay, forget about Epstein. This is a better example. They're different. Right. Phil travels and he loves traveling and then he eats and he loves eating. So scratch Epstein, Phil Rosenthal is a good example of a guy doing what he wants to do.
That's fine. And even more so that I'm doing it with Dave. You know, we've watched these games for 20 years and sometimes in an 8x10 room. You know, you've been down there with us, Adam, and you know, the conversations would extend an hour after football was over. So we're just picking it up 20 years later.
Well, the conversation turned to Cousin Sal a couple of days ago when I was sitting with Mike August in Texas eating barbecue. And Mike, by the way, Mike's new thing is the Washington former Redskins. The Washington football team needs to change their name to the Washington Generals. And then I explained that's the team that never wins that plays the Harlem Globetrotters. And then he pauses and he says, Generals would be an awesome name for the Washington football team. And then I go, yeah, but Mike, a team already has that name and they're associated with losing perpetually. And he goes, right, but they should call themselves the Generals. So that we had that conversation 23 times on the road.
We should call him the General.
So we were looking up Roy Jones Jr. fighting Tyson. We've all seen Tyson looking like he hasn't lost a beat hitting those focus pads the other day. And somebody looked it up online and said, you know, Tyson was getting, you know, I don't know, plus one. He was favorite or something like that. I was like, that's insane against Roy Jones. Roy Jones is not even a legitimate heavyweight. I was like, that's insane. And then I said, call Cousin Sal. And I don't know what happened after that. But Tyson should be a heavy favorite if he isn't.
I thought you were surprised by that, Ace. Yeah. I wanted to bring that one up.
He was a dog in the first article I looked at, and I said, let's get some money on Tyson, lickety split.
What number you got on that one, Sal?
Let me look it up because I haven't looked for a while, but you're right. It did change. And then there's Jake Paul over Nate Robinson, right? Is on the same card there.
My son was informing me yesterday that Nate Robinson has won the slam dunk competition three times more than
he did
three.
Is it three?
He said three times. I mean, more than Jordan and more than Dominique Wilkins, like more than. Yes.
Gary. I have our friends at Bet Online. As of this moment, as we record on Monday, they have Tyson as a favorite at -170 and Roy Jones Jr. at +140.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's that would you call that close-ish to even?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a little money comes in on Roy Jones, and they'll drop that to about 140, and then it's a coin flip.
I will say, just to push back, and I would certainly take the counsel of either one of you guys over my own about this fight, but isn't Tyson 57 and Roy Jones Jr. is 51? I feel like we're being cavalier about those 6 years for two men in their 50s. We would certainly apply that if it were a 34-year-old fighting a 40-year-old, right? Like, well, the younger guy, but he's over the hill now. He's 40. Doesn't it matter that Mike Tyson's coming up on 60?
I think Tyson's 54, maybe. Yeah, Tyson's 54. So it's closer than you think. And I would say the recent footage of Tyson 54. Looking very crisp on those focus pads, I mean, looking really crisp, you know, because because when you get older, you kind of lose that crispness, you know, that snap and that pop, you kind of lumber along. Right. Him looking sharp, I don't know. I feel like, you know, as Stallone would say, the power's the last thing that goes, right? I mean, if you still got that pop in your hands, if any of that stuff lands on Roy Jones, who's been fighting he's been fighting kangaroos in the kingdom of Brunei for like the last 10 years.
Well, the other thing, Ace, is the images that pop up in my mind, taking it on the other side, Roy Jones's last few fights, he got zombied, right? Like there were knockouts like, oh, you might not want to watch this more than once. I mean, he was just obliterated, right? Just head hit in the canvas. And then it's like, okay, he should not ever fight again. And this was a dozen years ago, maybe 8 years ago, and his last three fights, I think.
Really? Yeah. Hey, last thing in these desperate times, we have, you know, beggars can't be choosers, maybe. And Ace, you and me got a tweet from a listener asking, maybe this is just the start. If these two 50 somethings can get in the ring, when are we going to get Foreman and Larry Holmes in their 70s? I'll sign off on that. You know what? The president is doing worse throwing old people to the wolves. These two septuagenarians can slug it out, right?
Why do we have to politicize everything, Shaq? I say, look, you know, we all Let's give Don King, let's give the devil his due. Because Don King may be amongst the worst human beings ever. But there's two things about Don King. Well, maybe he's the ultimate example. That's a guy just doing what he wanted to do and getting paid for it. But, all right, he's the worst guy in the world. But let me tell you what he's inadvertently created. A whole bunch of broke-ass boxers from our childhood, right, yeah. Who need to fight now. You know, Lennox Lewis doesn't need the cash, and the Klitschkos don't need the cash, but anyone who Don King handled needs the cash. Mm-hmm. Thus, they're going to keep fighting into their mid-80s. And that right. provides that provides entertainment for us. We get to see guys who we used to see fight when we were 14 now fighting and we're in our 50s, right?
Oh, we used to be so cynical about the Who when they went on tour in the late 80s. Like, who are these old guys playing? See, now the sky's the limit. They septuagenarians, octogenarians fighting with each other. See, this is the kind of fun that Sal and I will also have.
I also guarantee the first time I probably made fun of the Rolling Stones and how old they were for going back out on concert. I am now older than Keith Richards was when he went out for the Steel Wheels tour when I was going, look at these old guys up there with their Depends diapers drinking their Ensure. I guarantee I'm older than they were. Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, Ace. Well, I know you'll remember the name. Mike Ferrucci was a writer on The Man Show, and he was a little older than the rest of us. And we used to have a joke. Our another writer, Jordan Rubin, would come up behind his chair and wheel him a little bit and say, okay, visiting hours are over, and we'd get a big kick out of it. Ferrucci was probably 40 and a half years old at the time, right?
I know. And the saddest is like when you start watching those shows you used to watch, and you realize that not only are you older than the star, like, you know, older than the star of Bewitched, you know, you're older than Darren, but I'm as old as his boss was. Like, I may be Larry Tate age, you know what I mean? Like I'm old. I'm as old as Captain Steubing was when I was watching The Love Boat. What was Steubing, Gary? A Love Boat hit in like 79. What was Captain Steubing?
While he looks that up, you want another one, A Tale from an Old Man in the Sea. Quint in Jaws, all three of us are older than Quint was in Jaws.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Terrific.
I love Robert Shaw. All right, let me hit
that. There's another one. Kurt Loder, 75 years old.
Oh, my God.
75.
Right. Oh, my God. And, Gavin McLeod must have, was the actor, must have hit in 78, 79.
Started in 76.
76?
Yes. And by my, I could be off by a year, but I believe he was around 45.
Oh, my God. We're all older than the captain from the Love Boat, the oldest guy on that boat. And we're all older than he is. All right, let me hit Bet Online. Sports is coming back, and so is your chances to win with our exclusive partner, BetOnline.ag. MLB is back. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props. Floyd Money Mayweather is going to join the BetOnline team for the Ice is Right. Oh, talking about his jewelry. You got a chance to win prizes, and you can bet on the cost of his bling. Visit BetOnline.ag today. Check out all the odds and the up-to-date sports news. Forget to sign up, and don't forget, I should say, to sign up. Take advantage of all the welcome back sports bonuses that are going on out there. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One, and don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. It is our partner at Podcast One. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right.
Don't forget to sign up.
Don't forget to sign up. Plug. Oh, sorry, Sal. I'm going to give a plug to Sal. Sal, why don't you jump on the next show with us as well? I think this is working out.
But that was a show we just did?
I know. It's weird, right? The Extra Points Podcast Network, and it's available. Oh, first guest. How'd you You must know Kimmel's publicist. Jimmy Kimmel's going to be the first one. Sal and Damashek, that'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Sports gambling, yeah. Pop culture, entertainment, it'll all be there. And where do we find that? We Apple and everywhere else?
Yeah, everywhere you find podcasts and stuff. Yeah,
and follow on social media, too. Videos coming out as well if you want to see true. Our handsome punims kibitzing about sports and the game of life. All right, good stuff from Cousin Sal. Ace, good times. We'll talk to you tomorrow with more hot sports talk. Until then, for Carolla and Sal, good sport out. Good sport.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Welcome to Fandemic 2020, presented by Bet Online. I'm your host, Bram Weinstein. We have an amazing panel of guests today. You see Harold Reynolds, who played infield in Major League Baseball for a number of years. You can see him every day on the MLB Network these days in his prestigious broadcasting career. Eddie George won the Heisman Trophy back in the 1990s, one of the best running backs in Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans history. And Robert Horry is one of the most clutch basketball players in NBA playoff history. A number of different championships with three different teams over 16 years. Hi to all of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me also.
All right, let's switch over to fans and let's talk about what that looks like, what that feels like. Eddie, you played at Ohio State. So you played at one of the most iconic, legendary venues that there is in American sport. You played in the NFL as well. So let's start with you here. The idea of playing football games without fans, that feels like what to you?
So I know what it feels like, and it's not fun. It's you need the energy to feed off of your whether your home or your home venue. You need the fans to support you when you're down. You're trying to figure out how to force through adversity as a team. And you need the fan support. And also when you're on the road, you know, the opposing teams feed off that same type of energy. So the fans are very much a part of sports like anything else. They are definitely they play a role in it. And that's the whole point, is the give and take. That's why they have home field advantage or home court advantage or home field advantage. It's definitely a feel to it. So what you're going to see is it's going to feel like a spring practice, if you will. It's going to feel like a glorified scrimmage is not going to have very much meaning without the fans. It's going to be a different feel.
Robert, for you, I mean, for your league, they're going right into the playoffs and there's no fans. What was your experience like having fans in the stands for playoff games? And what does it mean to you to not have them in what is the biggest moments of the season for the NBA?
Well, for me, I fed on fans' energy and I also love going into different, like the visiting team's arena and shutting them up, because it was nothing more satisfying than shutting them up and you know, having that thrill. But I think sometimes people don't understand how much as athletes we need fans. We love fans and we appreciate them greatly. I know a lot of times we can act like we don't by not signing an autograph, but we really appreciate fans because they give us that energy in the fourth quarter and they let us and they excite us to get over that mountaintop. I think about when we played Portland in game 7 of Western Conference Finals in game 4 or game 7 in the fourth quarter. You know, we down 20 points, but we got those fans behind us to come through and make them nervous. You know, that helped us. That's why you play for home court advantages, for these moments like this when you need those fans behind you to get you over the top. So it's hard to play without fans, but I will say this. Without fans, you're going to see who is the best. You can see who has the heart and the mindset to get over the top, because they don't have the fans to push them or give them that extra mile. So now the true talented people are going to come through at the end.
I got to tell you, though, I mean, Harold, I mean, as a fan, that is one of the unintended good consequences here of all of this, that we get to hear the things that we've always wanted to hear that we weren't sure was ever really going on.
Hey, Eddie, I'm curious with in football, so much of the vocabulary is shared from team to team,
yeah.
Like your audible in plays and stuff like that. How will that play?
That's a great point because, you know, the Patriots, they got in trouble for getting their audibles. They're getting their signals. They're knowing when they're checking. They're getting – so that's going to be interesting because to have the crowd noise to mute that out helps. And you can't pick up on things. But when you can pick up, like, you know, check with me, you know, going right, you know, Wrangler and lefty, whatever it is. I mean, you can pick up on those things. So I think the NFL, in terms of game planning, week to week, they're going to have to change up their vocabulary to communicate what they want from play to play. And it's going to be interesting to see how that happens.
From a health perspective, we've established you guys to some level would miss the fans in their presence. But what concern do you have about people being in the stands in general?
Well, I think if you want to get through the season, it's going to have to be without fans because you can't risk a fan coming down shaking somebody's hand. Your natural reaction, somebody says hi to you, you want to reach out your hand, right? Fist pump, whatever. What happens if a player contacts COVID through a fan? You're going to contact all the fans and you're going to shut the team down? I just think it's difficult enough to keep the team clean and healthy and not to involve fans. And I know that's not what everybody wants to hear, but I think that's where we're at right now. And like I said, this is ever evolving. Who knows? By the time we get to September, it might totally be different. But I think for now, as we're starting up and trying to just get players on the field, I find it difficult to think they're not going to interact with fans. It's just a natural thing to do. So I think that complicates the problem. That's just my thought.
Eddie, what about you? You said you fed off the fans. You liked having them there. With the public health and your personal health, if you were playing at risk, how do you feel about the idea of fans being in the stands?
I think it can be done. I think if you can find the right capacity and you can begin to kind of tarp off different sections of the stadium, because not every, even in normal time, not every stadium is going to be full anyway. So it's only certain markets, certain places. And I think teams that are at full capacity on the average need to have those plans out. I think if fans come in with masks on, they provide hand sanitizers, they're laid out a certain protocol that there are no player-fan interactions, there are no autographs, lay all the rules out on the table, I think it can be done appropriately. I think if you can somehow manage the concessions, you know, 6 feet distance, making sure people go in one way all the time, that they're not all over the place. If you can provide that in terms of a stadium environment and that experience, it can be done. I don't think the players can necessarily attract COVID. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. Through fan interaction, just by them being there, it's more on the field that from other players they can get it. Well, in terms of having fans in the stands, it can be done if it's done appropriately, responsibly, and it has to be well thought out. And they have to be able to check the temperatures of people, do a testing and a screening prior to that. I think it can be done.
Harold, would you play? Would you have played?
Would I have played? Yeah, I probably would have. You know, I was single throughout most of my career. I mean, through all my career, I was single. I didn't get married until after baseball. So, yeah, I probably would have played. I can understand guys that have the challenges, though, because of the fact that, well, you look at Mike Trout. You know, his wife is expecting their first child in August. And I remember being in spring training before the shutdown, talking to Mike, and he was so ecstatic about being home and asking me, what was it like in the delivery room when your kids were born? And he was all enthusiastic about all that. That's something you think about forever, yeah. Particularly with the first one. And so now, knowing that the date was going to be in August, he was like, I'll probably miss a couple games, but I'll be back. Then the pandemic hits, and he's thrown into this whole decision of what is he going to do? And I'll throw this at you guys real quick. The challenge for these players is not taking care of yourself. It's all your teammates. Everybody's in it. So I don't know what they're doing when they leave and who they're around and everything else. I think that's what presents even more of a challenge with contact testing, where if someone all of a sudden outside of your sphere has had contact with somebody. Now you all of a sudden you got to get quarantined. And so those are the challenges. And I know that's what Mike Trout is really struggling with. So that said, and that long answer, being single with no kids all through my career, yeah, I'd probably play. But had I had family, like Robert was talking about, it presents a different challenge.
Robert, would you have played if you were still playing right now? Would you play?
I probably would have because, it also depends on where I am at my career. You know, if I'm like 5 years in, 10 years in, or like if it was like 16 years at the end of my career, I wouldn't do it just because I know I'm older. I know my wife had heart issues and I got a young kid at home. So I probably wouldn't play. And plus, I've made enough money that I didn't have to play. So it that makes a big difference on where you are. My career was established. So, it's hard to say, and plus I had 7 championships. So, I'm not trying to win another one, but and it's hard to say, man, because you love the game of basketball. You love your sport and you want to get out there and show your craft and do your craft at the best of its ability. And it would be one of those things. And you have to really sit down with your family and discuss it and see what they want you to do. And it would be hard. But for me, and I know me and my wife, I would have said, no, I'm not playing because, I played enough and my life and my family life is more important than getting some, playing a basketball game.
All right, let's end on a big picture question. Optimistically, all of the leagues you're going to play, all of them are going to crown a champion. Harold, I want you to go last because baseball is such a unique position with how they're structuring their schedule and all of that stuff this year. But let's start with the NBA since they would be the first to literally crown a champion if they can play. Is there an asterisk, Robert, for whoever wins this thing this year?
I played in the 1999 season where, we want to put an asterisk by the San Antonio Spurs season because it was a lockout. I think anytime you win a championship, it's a great accomplishment. So there shouldn't be an asterisk. It's not like half the guys didn't try to compete and play, but everybody's out to compete and everybody has the same advantage that you have. I'm not one of these guys that believe in the asterisk. I think if you get out there and compete and you do what you're supposed to do to try to win the championship, you win that championship. You play hard as an individual. You did your thing. I know a lot of people, I guarantee you, if your team doesn't win it, you're going to say it. And if your team does win it, he goes like, oh, it's not an asterisk season. We compete like everybody else. So I think when you say asterisk, that's just bad because everybody had the same opportunity to go out and compete and win the championship. And you should have put yourself in a position to have the best advantage possible to win a championship.
All right, big thank you to our panel today. Harold Reynolds, who you can, of course, see on the MLB Network, played a number of years in the majors. Eddie George, a Heisman Trophy winner, of course, one of the greatest running backs in Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans history, and Robert Horry, one of the most clutch shooters in the history of the NBA, a winner of 7 championships and has the rest of them so jealous because he's got 7 rings. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And to the fans out there, thank you for joining us for Fandemic 2020, brought to you by Bet Online.